Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about an alarming new killer behavior in orcas, a potential breakthrough for patients with one of the deadliest cancers, and the brain science behind flow.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity. Today is World Aquatic Animal Day, which was started in 2020 and is dedicated to shining a light on all the creatures of the world that find a home in and around the water. And as we've reported over and over on the show, as marine habitats are rapidly changing, many of those aquatic animals are kind of struggling to adapt.
Right. The plight of our oceans and its inhabitants is becoming almost an existential problem, especially because literally billions of people around the world rely on the oceans for food and livelihoods. And I know some of the creatures in the water are actually adapting in some pretty mysterious ways.
I'm actually really glad you mentioned that because there's a really mysterious thing going on off the coast of South Africa. Around 2017, a team of marine biologists began noticing some new and really strange behaviors in a pair of orcas in the waters off the coast. Namely, they were teaming up to hunt down great whites.
Okay, but anyone who's ever watched Shark Week knows that the orca and the great white aren't exactly the best of friends. You know, as I understand it, orca are among the only animals that great whites fear, right?
Yes, but this is different. So orca are highly intelligent and have been known to hunt collaboratively. But in 2017, the team of researchers noticed that two very specific orca, named Port and Starboard, began hunting and killing great white sharks. Not only were they killing them, they were eating their livers.
Huh. All right. Well, that's a pretty apex move, isn't it?
It really is. And that was more than just an interesting observation, because this newly observed behavior was actually driving great white sharks out of the area, and that could have huge ecological implications.
Oh, I'm just going to say, I think I would also flee an area if a team of orca were coming after my liver.
It gets weirder, because the same research team was recently out on the water making observations when they witnessed Starboard, which is one of the pair of hunters, single-handedly take down a juvenile great white shark, remove its liver, and carry it around in its mouth. And as far as they know, this is the first time an orca was seen individually consuming a great white. And from start to finish, the attack only took about 2.5 minutes.
Okay, so is it just that researchers haven't seen this behavior before, or like, is this an entirely new behavior?
They think it's a new adaptation, but they aren't sure what's driving it.
Wow. So that an ancient marine species could just suddenly adapt new ways of hunting, like, that seems really mind-boggling.
It is. And the thing is, great white sharks are not only an apex predator, they're an integral part of the marine ecosystem. Their absence from these waters could trigger catastrophic changes that could throw the whole system into a sort of chaos.
Well, sure, yeah. If sharks stop eating certain smaller marine animals, then those animals might eat up all of the even smaller stuff and just on and on down the line.
Exactly. The entire ecosystem, every ecosystem thrives because of a very delicate balance. And when you take out one of the keystone species out of the equation, the balance is pretty quickly thrown off.
So the fact that orca are now figuring out how to individually target other apex predators might be an amazing segment on a nature doc. But it's also pretty worrisome.
Yeah, and that's what makes observations like this especially important. And like I said, on this World Aquatic Animal Day, we need to remember that as marine habitats are rapidly changing, understanding how the wildlife is adapting will be key to helping them survive what's coming.
Okay, so really only one last question. Why are the orca eating the great white's livers?
I mean, it's really lipid-rich. If you're an orca, it must be pretty tasty. Gross.
Mesothelioma is a rare but terribly aggressive cancer that primarily affects the lining of the lungs. Only around 3,000 new cases are diagnosed in the United States each year, but the five-year survival rate overall hovers around 12%, making it one of the most lethal cancers out there.
Okay, and isn't that caused by exposure to asbestos?
That's right. The mechanism that leads asbestos to cause mesothelioma isn't totally understood, but researchers do know that the presence of asbestos fibers in the body can damage cells' DNA and trigger mutations that lead to the cancer.
What's the typical treatment?
Well, that's a great question, because for two decades at least, the treatment has consisted of chemotherapy. And as I mentioned, it's just not all that effective if the cancer isn't caught in time. But there could be a breakthrough on the horizon.
I was actually hoping you'd say that.
Yeah. Scientists have developed a potentially game-changing treatment and have already conducted an international trial across five countries, led by Queen Mary University of London. So let's dig in a little bit.
This is really exciting because so many of the studies we talk about are still being worked out on animal subjects. So the fact that this is already in human trials means it could be close, right?
Totally. So nearly 250 patients participated in the trial, which researchers are calling the Atomic Meso Trial. They each received chemo every 3 weeks for up to six cycles, but half of them received a new therapy called ADI-PEG-20, and the other half received a placebo.
I have to say, Atomic Meso Trial is a pretty hard-hitting nickname.
Yeah, it's not bad. So the results might seem a little meager on the surface. Those who were given the new treatment survived on average 9.3 months compared to 7.7 months for those receiving the placebo.
That doesn't seem like a huge difference.
No, not at first. But a progression-free survival was also a bit longer. In other words, those who took the new treatment survived longer without the cancer progressing. But the difference was 6.2 months for those who were given the new drug and 5.6 months for the placebo. But get this, the three-year survival rate quadrupled.
Oh, so the averages might not seem like a big boost, but there was actually some really big advances.
Right. So the drug works by exploiting a vulnerability in mesothelioma cells. These cells can't produce this amino acid called arginine. And arginine, it turns out, is the food these cells survive on. So the new drug depletes arginine levels in the bloodstream.
Starving out the tumor cells, basically.
Exactly. This is a ray of hope for thousands of people suffering from this deadly disease. It could mark a moment when the tables are turned on this particular cancer. And in the meantime, this treatment is promising to give patients months, if not years, of their lives back.
That's a happy story. I like this one.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Talk to any talented creative type, writers, artists, musicians, and you will eventually hear about the sheer joy of flow.
Flow, it's like being in the zone, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's that super coveted state of like effortless, enjoyable productivity that just about anyone can sink into. It's not just artists. People in all kinds of fields can find flow. Mathematicians and entrepreneurs and teachers. Really anyone engaged in focused work.
Okay, so what exactly is flow? In other words, can it actually be like defined? Is it a real thing or is it just a feeling?
That is a great question. Scientists have long described it as a sort of effortless focus on a specific task. You know, it's that time when you're so focused on the thing in front of you that the rest of the world just slips away.
Sure. I guess that's why flow is associated with the artist, right? Like the painter in her own little bubble in front of her canvas.
Right. Well, a research team wanted to know what was going on in our brains when we reached that flow state.
To see if it's a real thing.
Yep, and not only that, but to try to understand what causes it and how to get there. The study from Drexel University's Creativity Research Lab is groundbreaking for being the first ever to use neuroimaging to understand how the brain achieves the zone during creative tasks.
So I'm trying to envision a lab full of people just like flowing. How does that even work?
Well, first, you invite 32 jazz guitarists to the lab, which kind of reminds me of my days at Guitar Center.
Yeah, okay, that can do it.
Right? So they used EEGs on these jazz guitarists, all of whom had varying skill levels. The musicians all improvised to jazz lead sheets, which are basically just songs you can riff from, accompanied by beats and piano. And once these riffs were recorded, each musician rated their own self-perceived level of flow.
So they could compare the EEGs to how in the zone the guitarists felt.
Yep. And then the researchers had four different jazz experts evaluate the improv sessions for creativity and other qualities, which gave them another grounding data point.
So where did the flow come from? Like, what did they find?
Well, first of all, the musicians with higher levels of experience and expertise reported more frequent and intense flow states.
So the better you know your subject, the more easily you can get to flow.
Right, but here's where it takes an amazing twist. High flow states were marked by increased activity in left hemisphere auditory and touch areas.
The parts that you hear and feel the music.
Yeah, but there was a decrease in activity in executive control regions.
Okay, and what does that mean exactly?
It means that flow is achieved when you're really good at the thing you're doing, but also when you're able to just sort of let yourself go.
Wow, and that feeling of flow is a lot like the feeling of just letting go, letting your instincts sort of guide you.
Right, but in order for that to happen, the researchers say that your instinct needs to be developed. In other words, at least according to this study, if you want to achieve flow, you need to learn everything you can. You need to get really technically good at the thing you do. It's practice, practice, practice. And once you know the material backwards and forwards, you can forget it all and just sort of let yourself go.
All right. I like it. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up.
Off the coast of South Africa, an orca known as Starboard astonished scientists by individually hunting and consuming a great white shark liver within just 2 minutes.
A new drug has revolutionized the treatment of mesothelioma, a deadly cancer caused by asbestos exposure, by quadrupling 3-year survival rates.
A new study suggests the secret to achieving flow and creativity is to blend extensive practice with the art of letting go.
Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.